It's the time of the harvest, and the stores are full of the earth's produce. Some of you may even be lucky enough to have had gardens and that are offering up these miracles of growth. It's a harvest for our senses. In church, we take time here to acknowledge the seasons, the changing of the seasons, which helps us to stay connected to the natural cycles of birth and growth, death and decay. We focus on the cycle of life, and we draw meaning from what the earth teaches us about our own human ecology and the transitions in our lives. We too are born and mature and die and decay. By repeating this reminder each year, we reinforce our connection with the ebb and flow of the annual changes and our relationship to every living thing. In the liberal religious tradition, we seek meaning in the reality of this here and now, not in a life beyond this. Though some of us will believe in heaven or some such existence after this time of incarnation, few, if any, would say that the next life would be more important than the one that we are currently living. Most of us might say that heaven is right now, on this earth, in these bodies, amongst these people. Heaven here and now. I want us to know that there is perfection now, that there is beauty now, connectedness now, love, gratitude now, hope and heaven now. Now, I think I could hear some mental responses to that from some of you. Maybe a little rationalization or skepticism slipping in. Some doubt, maybe. Okay. It might be a long stretch to feel like this is heaven right now. But how about contentment, deep satisfaction, profound enjoyment? Can we try a little of that? My premise this morning is that as a culture, we have so much of everything, we can't really enjoy anything. We have so much of everything, we can't really enjoy anything. So let's get simple. I'd like to begin with just one thing. An apple. Yesterday, I went down to the farms down on South East Marine Drive, close to where I live in Burnaby, and went in and saw the great big bins with the signs that said, New Okanagan Crop, with the Granny Smiths and the Golden Delicious and the Galas and the Spartans, all of these beautiful apples. I want you to think about what your favorite apple is. And then I'm going to guide you on a little apple meditation. But you need to keep your senses alive and you need to keep your eyes open for this one. May I have my helpers to the front? Thank you. I'm going to hand out a couple of these apples. My helpers are going to... I want you to tell me what colors... Well, we're going to do colors first. So, if Jane, if you would do the colors, okay? Tell me what colors you see in these apples. Arlette? Red? What else?
Blush.
Blush. What else? Yellow?
Green?
You know, you look at an apple and it's not just one color. There's brown and yellow and pink and green and yellow. A marbled look, right. Now, feel the bumps along the bottom. How would you describe the shape of an apple? Now, this time we can give it to Dennis. Tell me about the shape of that apple. Helen, tell me about the shape of that apple. An apple is not round. It's not easy like an orange. Give me a word or two or three to describe the shape of it, Dennis.
I think the word geoid comes to mind. It's the way, a little bit like the way the earth is.
Geoid. Okay. That's a new word for me. Helen, what would you call that shape?
I agree with
Dennis. Okay. Geoid, a new word for us. Not quite round, not quite oval, got some bumps and dips and soft parts and pointy parts. Good. What does... Oh, here we go. We're going to open it up. Can you take those and pass them out? My assistants will be handing around small pieces of apple for your meditation. So we open it up and it goes from being this one green color to, what do we notice here?
White. Dark brown seeds.
Dark brown seeds. Mm-hmm. Smell this, Dennis. Tell me what you smell.
Like many of my other senses, it's rather weak.
What do you smell? An apple smell? Can you describe apple? Fresh, tart, sweet. We take these things, so simple things in our lives, and we just consume them, just put them into our bodies and move on. We don't take the time to smell and touch and taste the simplest of the bounties of this earth. As those bits of apple are coming, I would like you to use your eyes and just look for 30 seconds. Not eating yet, not eating yet, just look. We're going to slow the whole process down here. I want you to lick it when you get it with the tip of your tongue. What is that sensation like? And smell it. And take one tip of one finger and feel the difference between the flesh and the skin. The texture of this amazing piece of food. We've almost got them all handed out. And now together, when you've smelled it, felt the texture, used all your senses except taste, well, you've done it with the tongue a bit. And now I want you to close your eyes and take a bite, small or big, and be present to that experience. Can you feel your taste buds react to the taste? The sweet, the tart, the wet, juicy apple. I hope that you can take one breath now and feel some enjoyment and appreciation for this simplest of fresh, earth-given food. Every meal in my house when I was a child, once the food was put on the table, there would be a pause. My father always served the meal. So before he served, there was a pause. And in that pause, without fail, he would take his hands and he'd rub them together and he'd say, "Ooh, my, my, what have we here?" My dad knew how to appreciate food. The making of the food, the creating of the food, the presentation of the food, the savoring of the food. Every meal, oh my, what have we here? For my dad, that was a reverential moment, a moment of deep joy, deep appreciation. He never took food for granted. This came in part because my dad was a young boy growing up on the prairies during the Dirty 30s. And there were days where you could not anticipate, you could count on there being food for dinner that night or that day. The Dirty 30s was when the drought had lasted for so many years that it was too dry to grow anything. It was so dry that the topsoil lifted off with the wind and blew over next two provinces. Nothing would grow. As a young boy, my dad knew that food didn't always show up on the table. Sometimes you just couldn't go to the store, even if you did have 25 cents or a dollar in your pocket to buy it, because there simply wasn't anything in the store. It's been three generations in this country since there hasn't been food on the shelves or in the gardens or on the farms, at least on the prairies. 85 harvests, three generations of abundance. Over the course of this time, we have seen the loss of the family farm, the mechanization of farming, the exodus from rural to urban living, and the industrialization of food processing, the rise in obesity, cancers, diabetes. We have lost a connection to the earth that sustains us. We may be working longer hours, and there's certainly more anxiety around it, more hopelessness, isolation, more desperate pleasure seeking, and far less enjoyment. Many families have let go of the ritual of the family dinner. Food is consumed now in front of a TV, in the car, on the run to the next thing. Food has become a commodity. Eating has become entertainment and a distraction. A division, a diversion, a compulsion, a struggle, an illness, a weapon. My dad's delight in seeing his dinner before him is now seen as quaint, as if from a bygone era. But I am afraid that in those three generations we have lost something very important. And it's not the children who don't know where the food they eat comes from or the ones who think that ketchup is a vegetable. We have lost the capacity to enjoy. I mean, to really, really deeply enjoy. Enjoying the experience of eating, the experience of living, so that we are fully satisfied, so that we are deeply nourished, so that we might experience a little heaven on earth. The French culture has created a different relationship to food than what we have here in North America. According to the latest statistics, in 2010, French citizens devoted an average of 2 hours and 22 minutes a day eating. And when they eat at home, it takes longer. And that isn't cooking time, shopping time. That's 2 hours and 22 minutes of eating every day. Now, if the French were eating in the style that we do, many of us in North America, they would be the most obese people probably in the world. But this is not true. They are not. To experience the joy of food, the French take 2 hours off in the middle of the day to eat. And I love this. You can get free parking in those 2 hours. This is a culture that supports enjoyment, the joy of nourishing ourselves. They sit down and they talk to each other. They connect. Food is not just about eating, it's about connecting to others, sharing our lives as we share food. And this unhurried connection, this process to possess, increases the capacity of enjoyment. Enjoyment is a process that requires a little effort. We think it's instantaneous in this culture. Pop it in your mouth, you got your pleasure. But real enjoyment requires effort. It takes time because you have to slow down. You might even need to really stop. That requires effort. Enjoyment needs you to be able to take a deep breath and an even longer exhale. And it takes effort to pay attention to our breath and our bodies, to our tasting, to our seeing, to our smelling. Joy comes from being present to this moment and what and who is sharing that moment with you. And it takes effort to be aware of who you're with, what they may need, the connection. Joy comes from connection. It takes effort to stop thinking about yourself, your problems, your list of things to do. It takes effort to stop that and be present, to connect. Joy comes from reaching out to your friend, your partner, your lover, your child, your parent, and notice something simple, something amazing about them in your life. How would life be different for you without them there? It takes effort to love them and appreciate them, and it's so worth it. And why is all of this related to our theme of resilience this month? If you have the capacity to deeply enjoy the simple things in life, like the taste of an apple or the smell of leaves decaying, the feel of the rain on your face, if you have the capacity to hear the sound of beautiful music or see the deep starlit night, if you have the capacity to experience some joy from these simple things, then you have resilience. Joy is resilience. Joy is the force that brings you back into wholeness when you have been broken. Joy reinflates you when you have been punctured. Joy is buoyancy for the sinking heart. Joy is warmth for a cold and hardened heart. this Thanksgiving? Harvest joy. Slow down. Do less. Enjoy more. And allow a little heaven on earth to slip into your day. So be it.